Well, I just want to say good evening, and can everyone hear it pretty good? It's working through here pretty good. And maybe we should start for a little prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we just pray that Thou speak through me to speak Thy words, that all here, including myself, may become closer to Thee and learn a little bit more. And we just thank Thee that Thou art with us. And for two or three are gathered together, that Thou art in the midst too. So we just pray Thy will be done. You might, as a subject matter, I thought of having Hebrews chapter 11 as a central on faith. It does give examples of faith. Perhaps we could turn to Romans 4:5, and that will tell us a little bit about Abraham's faith. I hope you bear with me. I can't always find the reference real quickly, but I'll try and do what I can. And the pages are thin. They're hard to separate sometimes. And Romans 4, verses 1 through 5. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God, meaning his own works. As he were, as the works were credited to him for peace with God and accomplishment with God, for that might be, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So you see a step of obedience there. And that is the way we please God, is by obeying him. That's what Abraham did. He believed God, and which is another word for faith. He had faith in God, that God would do what God said he would do. And continuing, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. God counted that unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And this morning, Mark brought out how we do nothing of ourselves to obtain salvation. It's not our work. We rest in his work. However, we do works. But then it's him, I'm saying, we do him, or the vessel. And we should be the vessel and let the Lord work through us. So, then I thought perhaps a little bit here would be on the salvation itself. Many verses tell how that we have to be saved to avoid hell and eternal punishment. And we have also in salvation, the first obedience of God is by believing what God says and exercising faith. Excuse me. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:4. So maybe we could turn over to Hebrews if we may. And I might be skipping around here a little bit. Hebrews 11. In verse 4, by faith, let's see if I have this right here. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And I think I have the wrong verse, verse 6. There it is. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. In other words, that God exists. That he's there. You can't see him, but he's there. We have to believe that. must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Another verse does say, seek the Lord and he shall find him, or seek him and he shall find him. And I believe that everyone, anywhere, if they're seeking God, God will reveal himself and draw them to him and give him the opportunity to be saved. So, faith or trust closely related to be saved, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, a use of our own will. We have a will to obey God, to repent of our sinful living, and of course most know that the word repent means changing from the old lifestyle which we're born into, which is enmity against God, which is doing things which are not pleasing to God. And so we need to repent of that, and we come to him and believe on him, to repent of our sinful living and let the Lord be Lord of our lives. We submit ourselves then to him as we repent, as we believe on the Lord Jesus. We believe that he has the right then, and he does, to run our lives. And we don't always do that even after we're saved. I don't always do it, but we should try. Submission to his commandments. And it reminds me again of once I spoke on, if you love me, it's the Lord saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And continuing on the note here, from the heart's desire to please him. Faith and trust God will give us eternal life and live more life more abundantly. And of course also it will include eternal life with the Lord. Excuse me. Of faith and trust, God will always give us the best. He does. As we trust him, as we commit our lives and our living and his will for us, as we want it real bad, you might say, or real much, then he does give us what is the best for us. And some things we may have to wait for. And as we all know, there are trials come. He allows them, I believe, of course, to bring us closer to him. That's why he allows the trials or sickness. I did witness to a young man this past week, and he couldn't seem to see how God could allow sickness to come. Well, we've heard that expression before, but we know that it's because we're in a sinful world. But even himself, he did realize that God may use that to bring him closer to himself. So I don't know. This man says he didn't believe in hell or heaven. So I think he's confused. I asked for prayer last Thursday for him. But it was a privilege to witness to him. Actually, I had my Bible open. This was in a rehab part of the hospital there in Irving. And got down to write some notes for this message. And he, another man came in first, in a little Bible verse. Then he sat down, gave him a Bible verse. He said, well, I can't read it, I don't have my glasses. So, but nevertheless, that's when he expressed the fact he didn't believe in hell or heaven, but he said he did believe in God. So I don't know, I was really confused, but I did spend the rest of the time talking with him about the Lord and what he did on the cross and how he loves us. So if there's any younger person especially or older that's not saved, the Lord, now's the time. And especially remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Don't put it off, because it only gets, you might say, harder to get saved, because the mind of the person is, will get involved in fleshly or lustful things that are not right, or part not right, or whatever it is. And it's harder to give up that, or even riches may, in some cases, harder to come and surrender our life to him. So remember the Creator, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. So then, this desire to love and please Him, our Lord, should be a daily experience. Let's see what John 1, 5 through 10. John 1, 5 through 10. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That is, through the light, through Jesus. He was not that light, meaning it's John that's right, speaking of here, John the Baptist. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And now, back here, well, thank you, Mr. Schroeder. Seems the older I get, the more crackly it gets, so I don't know. This desire to please Him should be a daily thing. John 1, 5 through 10. Faith in God and Jesus to hear us and forgive restores fellowship. And when we sin, we do lose a fellowship with the Lord. And so, we want to confess our sins and restore that fellowship. Now, I have thought to read the 11th chapter. I'll read it in whole, maybe. Let's read a section of it. Hebrews 11, starting with verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For if by us the elders obtained a good report, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, and then it starts in instances of faith. It starts with Abel. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And we know that what happened was that Cain brought his first fruits of the ground. He brought what he thought was acceptable before the Lord. The Lord rejected it. But Abel brought a sacrifice of an animal, which was necessary in order to please God before the Lord Jesus became the sacrifice. The only sacrifice to take away sin. These other sacrifices pointed to our Lord Jesus. Jesus' sacrifice pointed to it and covered the persons that lived before the cross. If they did that in faith, in wanting to do it, I might say, from the heart, not just going through a ritual. So what he did, God rejected it, but I think Cain could have went along with God and confessed that he was wrong and did it the right way, but he didn't. And therefore, he ends up getting mad enough and angry enough and hating enough his brother to kill him. And he killed Abel there. And Abel, speaking of him, he exercising faith that God was right. God accepted that. God's way was right. God accepted that. Apparently, his parents had told him that that they were to, or maybe God directly told him that he was to offer to God a slain animal, which he did. And God accepted that. I believe God gave him a second opportunity to repent. That is just a thought towards what Cain, as Emily just mentioned, but it led to murder. The act of obeying God is counted as righteousness, which we read earlier there. By exercising faith in Christ, and keep my words. Let's look at John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And of course, we could apply that to the salvation. Once one is saved, then the Holy Spirit enters that person. For in other portion it says, If you have not the Spirit of God in you, you are none of his. So, everyone that's truly born again will have the Holy Spirit in them to guide them into all truth and to tell them what truth is. But I believe we do might point out this fact to myself and all. We must read the Word, as often has been said from here. We must have private times as well as together to read the Word, to ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to help us, guide us, and that gets us into our minds, and then I believe that's when the Holy Spirit brings these things to remembrance. But if we don't put something in, then perhaps he may not very much do that. So, getting back to John 14, verse 23, and if we love him and keep the words, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We might think that, well, now Adam and Eve, speaks of Adam, talked with God before he sinned. There was fellowship. And God did come to him in the garden, and there was fellowship. But because of sin, that stopped. But when we're saved, it begins again. I believe we can have fellowship with the Lord, and not just at devotion time, but all the time, like our brother said this morning. So, by exercising faith, we are pleasing God and doing righteousness in His sight. Hebrews 11, verse 5. So we'll read that there again. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated, or that means he was, God just took him up, translated him, so he was able to live in heaven. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Nobody around there found him, because God had translated him, the same word, changed him and took him up before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And of course, that's an example we should all strive to, is by obeying God. And as we come out here tonight, we're obeying God, and throughout the week we try to please God. And what greater enjoyment that we get ourselves if we can find that we are pleasing God. And I believe that we can ask the Lord to help us and show us where our shortcomings are, or the things we may allow or do which are not pleasing to Him, and then with His help try to stop doing that. So we have about Enoch. But verse 6 of 11, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I know we just read it. It doesn't hurt to read it over. Noah. And then I did have this written down about Enoch, just backing up to Enoch again. He was taken up. What a testimony to have it said, we please God. Enoch walking with God showed his exercise of faith. So here faith comes in, also believe. Enoch believed God, believed what he said, believed that God was in charge of his life. After all, God made us all. He has the right to rule our lives. So it showed his exercise of faith. He must have well obeyed. I say well obeyed. He must have really tried hard and did what he knew of God at the time there, God's laws, and open to any further laws or commands of God. He must have been an obedient individual. Even if we don't understand God's instructions for us, and that's that comment. And by faith, Noah. So I read verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, on the notes here, Noah was warned of God of a great earth-covering flood that would wipe out man and beast, except any who would go into this ark that God had him build. And I understand it was quite a long time that he was in the building of this ark. May have tried his faith a little bit too. But he did it. He accomplished it with the Lord's help. And he exercised that faith. And to go in, could then go into the ark boat of safety. We find that none did, but I believe that they could have. By faith, Noah believed God and built the ark, even though there were no doubt scoffers and ones to make fun of him, and they probably did that. Today, many do not obey the gospel and make light of it. Matthew 24, then Matthew 24:37. I'll look that up here. But as the days of Noah were, now it's going to refer to, well, even now and in the future days ahead of us here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I won't, there's more on the subject, I won't read it. As in Noah's day, eating and drinking, getting married, you might say standard activities, really nothing in itself wrong with that. Unless the reference is here to getting drunk and stuff like partying, that, of course, is definitely out. But just getting married is the right thing to do. But they left God out. But no thought of God, I put here. Or spending time in His Word. Some listen or watch TV, radio, and should, with discretion, especially on Bible doctrines, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says the workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that would be those of us perhaps who are not considered theologians and uppity up and things. Now, there's something wrong with that, but even the workman, we should take the word and ask the Lord to help us and understand it. And see ya. With discretion, especially on Bible doctrines. And 2 Timothy 2:15, let's see what that says. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And some things in the word pertain to Israel, and after the Lord died on the cross, we no longer offer animals, and there's a lot of things that were required to be done before the Lord's death on the cross. So we study the word and keep those things in mind. Does this pertain to Israel or isn't it not anymore? And so we would do that. And some church practices have ceased. Now this is, there again, there is a few in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And of course, that's a very important chapter to look at because it speaks of our love. But 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, charity. Where it says here, but we believe it also means love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I know in part. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith. And here we have the word faith again. And we have that every day. Hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is the love. And of course, Christ's love is the greatest. He loved us. And we love him because he first loved us. And so I had a couple of thoughts there. I might skip over that. Love or charity never fails. Tongues may have been a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person, too. That is true. So getting back to the examples of faith. Exercising faith in God is obeying God. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14:23. Abraham did. And Hebrews 11:8. We'll go back to Hebrews. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, and this is speaking with his wife too, Abraham and Sarah, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. There's that word, obey. It's so important when it comes to God, to obey him. And he went out not knowing where he went. Or whither he went. certainly that was exercising faith. And also believing, belief too, believing in God. God had a reason, and he would eventually show it to him. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that certainly would be, and is, a great city. So, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, the thoughts here. Keep my commandments. Abraham did. Hebrews 11:9. He and his wife left and sojourned, faith and trust in God. Verse 11, Sarah, faithful, had a child. Eventually she did get the child. Judged him faithful who promised. God is always faithful to carry out his promises. But perhaps we, like Abraham, sometimes the promise that God gives is long time in coming. I don't know how many years it was, it went by, that when God first spoke to Abraham, and remember that Sarah, she heard also, well, she's going to have a child. Well, they were past age to have children, and she laughed. But even though she did, and even though a little time before Isaac, her son, promised from God, Cain, she told her husband to go, which apparently was, the Lord allowed it anyway, and through this concubine, they had a child, Ishmael, I think the name was, and, of course, they would be the heir of hope. But the angel of the Lord spoke to this lady, and said that she would have a great number of people, and indeed she does it too. But the promised child was to be Isaac and not Ishmael. But even though that, it still says here, I noticed it seemed interesting, she's listed in the column of the heroes of faith. She was counted faithful. Let me read it again. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength, and of course, we read that when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So apparently she did have faith, and it's recorded here. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. In other words, past this time of reproducing. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And we are too, as we wait for the Lord to make us home. We're strangers and pilgrims to the world, certainly to the world system. We should be the system. It isn't that we're not out in and should be witnessing, trying to witness to others and be friendly to other people and deal with other people and business dealings and whatever it is. We're still here. We don't be like a hermit and crawl in a dark place somewhere or just off by ourselves. We're to be here and be a testimony. Excuse me. So we should try to do that, and with the Lord's help, live. But we're really strangers here. We're not home. Someday in heaven, and of course the Lord will wipe away all tears. He will heal. Perfect healing, then we won't have sickness or any other things that we have to go through here. So we find out that the seraphim, she had faith also. These all died in faith, receiving the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they state it and declare plainly that they seek a country. Abraham, as the verse we read before, Abraham seeks a city, and this here speaks of a country. And verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called a God, for he hath prepared for them, now it's the word city here. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And that's another case of where Abraham exercised faith in God and obedience. As God asked and told him that he should offer up his only son, Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And in reference to seed here, Christ, of course, would come through the lineage of from Abraham on through. And that Isaac, so here the Lord is asking, however, in verse 19, accounting, and he took it into his thinking that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. However, when we look at the history of that there, and the actual details of Abraham taking Isaac, the Lord stopped him from killing. He already had the sword raised to kill in the offering of Isaac his son. He was about ready to kill him. But then the Lord stopped him through his angel, and there was a lamb alongside who was then Abraham knew that lamb caught in the thicket was to sacrifice them. But God was testing him, that's what it was, and took him right to the point. And here he exercised faith again. Sometimes maybe we're tested right to the point. And we have to carry him as an example. We try to trust God when he asks us to do something. Now, there are many in this world, Christians, who are being tested. Some are to the point, perhaps, of death, and others are actually killed. And I had a thought with Carl Lehman, and he spoke of the former Muslim was murdered or hung. He was hung because he became a Christian. He wouldn't deny it. But he had a brother who was also a Muslim, but he was all against him, and he was for that belief. And however, there was such a light, this actually happened, there was such a light as that Christian brother was hanging on the, in the, being hung there, that he just realized that apparently, and the Holy Spirit and God drew him to himself, that he confessed it in the Lord, so he was saved. And God allowed his brother to be killed, and then there was such a light on the body of this, or around it, I don't know exact detail, but Carl said this happened quite recently. And we know there's been others belief that have been saved by dreams that God has given to them to make it clear to them, no doubt, that God is real, the Lord Jesus is real, and he's the one by whom we're saved, not some other figure. Of course, the Bible says there was the Antichrist in the last time, and there certainly are Antichrists. And we go down. Verse 20, Isaac and Jacob. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I did study that part where it says about Esau. I don't know how, in a way, I don't see how Esau was really blessed because Jacob stole the birthright in the first place, and then Esau wanted to have the blessing. Jacob did get the blessing first, and but there was deceit there, and the mother was involved in that case, and they, Jacob put a spur on his body because Isaac, the father, couldn't see too well, but he felt and saw it. So he thought he was blessing Esau, firstborn, but instead he blessed Jacob. This is all God allowed it. But anyway, that's what the word says here, that Jacob did bless Esau. It must be concerning things to come. And that's where we read. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. His blessing was a custom they had then, which God wanted, and meant something to them. And it's listed, of course, in faith. And then I see the clock is getting up near the top. Joseph, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And then Moses and his parents. And I have a note or two on Moses. I did have one more thing I might say about Abraham. Though he followed God, he didn't do it perfectly. He got off into Egypt for a while and then lied to one of the officials there that his wife was his sister. And apparently that man was going to take him to himself, have relations with her. But then I think God warned him that there. And then, of course, he was probably a little upset with her, quite a bit upset with Abraham. Why he didn't tell him, well, that's my wife. And then he would have let her alone. So, but anyway, Abraham in Egypt is a picture, we've been told, of the world. And so, that's another warning, another thing we can learn. You know, the Bible says we can learn from the Old Testament. And in this story with Abraham going to Egypt, going, as it were, a lapse in his faith. I think that's what Schofield says in the Bible there. There's a lapse of faith. And for a while he goes back and has some embarrassing things to take care of. And so then we have in Moses and his parents that the law was that all the men, I think it was, were to be killed. And Moses' mother, she had faith, perhaps the father too, it's not mentioned. He made a little ark, a little tiny baby ark, as a little, whatever you call it, and put the baby in, but it was lined with pitch, put in the water, actually put in the water, and the sister of Moses there was to watch over. But he ends up with this Egypt, one of the daughters of the hierarchy of Egypt, sees the baby and takes it with love. But for a while, though, the sister, when she said, could my mother take care of this one here? And he did. So I may not have the story exactly right, but they were exercising faith there between the daughter, the sister, as well as the mother. And then Moses was greatly used to lead the Lord's people. And Rahab, too, she was a harlot. And she also had faith, by, and she didn't perish. The walls of Jericho went down. She didn't perish because she hid the spies, God's representatives. She was in obedience to God. God, no doubt, maybe told her to do that. But she was willing to do it. She obeyed it. And so she was preserved. And actually, we believe that, I think Rahab is in the lineage of Christ, too, in honor there. So it's just for the past time. I better say, be quiet for the rest of it. And trust that the Lord will bring something out of the few words spoken. And you want me to close in prayer?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Once again, Lord Jesus, we bow in thy holy and precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where now every knee should bow, but someday every knee shall bow. But we pray that many who would, thou hast said to pray for all men, and are not willing that any should perish. So we pray that many will be saved, even while we speak. Be with us as we depart for our homes. Thank you for the group that's here and the fellowship we can have in thee, and the encouragement we can trust we do to one another as we go through another week. Maybe thy rapture is just a few days ahead, or down the west, it could be tonight. But whatever it is, thou shalt never leave us nor forsake us. Those of us who are born again, if anyone here not saved, pray they might do.